With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome along to the Wise Men Say preview show podcast for this weekend's visit of Rochdale AFC. My name is Frankie Francis. I'm joined in the studio by Craig Clark and Richard Easterbrook. Hello.
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 Everyone okay?
Mild hangover for me.
Hangover for you, Richard.
I'm feeling fresh as a daisy.
Fresh as a daisy over there. Rochdale AFC. There's not many AFCs. We are one of them. Rochdale are one of them.
It's a clash of the AFCs.
Yeah. They are visiting the Stadium of Light. 3 p.m. on Saturday, we're going to look forward to that fixture. Quick look back at the last fixture, though. We haven't had our say, unless you won on Monday night. You weren't, were you?
I wasn't.
No, and you weren't.
And I don't think any of us saw the game, did we?
No. Followed it on the radio.
I didn't even manage that. I was out with my nephew.
Hey, that's all right. You don't have to justify your existence around here.
I do have to justify not watching Sunderland, I feel. Like, well, he did betrayed them.
Well,
but they betrayed me with that poor result.
Exactly. Some of our friends in the Wise Men Say circle made the trip, and it wasn't the result we hoped for, or actually a performance in any regard at all that we're kind of expecting from Sunderland this season. You know, we want to. A lot of the fans think we're going to go and steamroll the teams, especially someone like Burton, who had such a terrible home record last season. A team which we beat last season, one of the few at their place, but we didn't manage to be quick.
No, and I don't think in hindsight, you can look at that team that you picked, and just you can say, yeah, that was the wrong team selection without even seeing the game.
Yeah,
we dominated possession again, which I thought was quite surprising looking at the statistics, which we have done pretty much every game this season, despite not looking like we're in control of games sometimes. So, and that's with a midfield that looked pretty lightweight, to be honest. And I think that's something he will address going into this weekend's game.
Yeah, lessons learnt, I think, from it. Maybe not. Don't go too gung-ho at the minute, anyway.
I suppose, given the way we've conceded goals, maybe he thought, let's just go out on the front foot and try and blast a team away the way other teams have tried to do to us.
I'll be honest, when I saw the starting line, I was quite excited by it. I thought, you know, we were going to go for it, Richard.
Yeah.
Backfired, though.
It looked fairly attacking. I thought, well, you know, concentrate on attack and we don't have to worry about defence. But obviously when you have to worry about defence, it all falls down and it happened again.
Does anyone think we're just not... Obviously, it's a different squad, different manager and everything, but we look very susceptible to exactly the same type of goal that we looked susceptible to last season.
Yeah, I totally looked at it. And a lot of people I've heard say we need some more height in the side and a bit more physical presence. I don't think the second goal particularly, I don't think it was down to that at all. It was just down to poor positioning and, you know, there seems to be some kind of communication issue, as in there is none.
Yeah.
But it just, nobody was picking up the man and it just ended up being a bit of a sorry mess.
It's strange that when you've watched them this season, the defenders individually, I mean, Oviedo, great. Baldwin, plaudits, mostly deserved. I think he's been really good. Leuven, steady. Matthews, a bit less so. Donald Love, when he's played, less so. But as a collective unit, there's something not clicking there. And I think that's going to come down to coaching. especially,
do you think it's inconsistency as well? You know,
changes in the back four.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's an old-fashioned look at it, but you know, it won't help, surely.
Football's
yeah.
about partnerships, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, that back five needs to stay the same for a few games running in order to gain some kind of partnership going on between the four and then also with the keeper as well.
Mm. Yeah, that I mean, that is actually a really good point. Last season we pointed at goalkeepers a lot, and I noticed Lee Camp kept a clean sheet midweek. Mm. I'm not saying that was down to him being particularly great, but I think a few of us said, had we had a capable goalkeeper, we wouldn't have seen some of the goals conceded, maybe better organisation. Well, we've got a better goalkeeper. Obviously, we're doing better in a poorer division this season, but we're still suffering from similar problems. So maybe it wasn't just down to the goalkeepers last season. Mm-hmm. And whatever that issue was, is still hanging over. Something for Ross to look at. You'd presume he's looking at it every week because it must frustrate him as much as us.
Yeah. It's that first goal thing as well. Is that becoming a psychological barrier for the players, do you think, Richard?
I think it's getting that way, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just one of those things, isn't it? It looked like we started well. Mm-hmm. We had that chance with Maja, first of all. So it's not as if they're coming out of the blocks going, well, we're definitely going to concede first. Mm. I think it's just that other teams are starting to kind of think, well, if we put pressure on them in the first 20 minutes, you know, if this is at home, the fans get on the back. If they're away from home, you know, we can get the fans on our side and then build on it. And I think we're just falling. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, I think.
So is that psychological, yes. Is it a lack of preparation? Are we not? Why? I look at the players we've got and I don't think physically we're, not just height-wise and strength-wise, we're just quite diminutive. We're not pacey particularly throughout the team. Last season, we definitely were physically underprepared for that division. This is a much poorer division, so you can get away with it more. So you concede chances, players miss them, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But I do worry over, despite the squad depth, that we just lack something. And I'm not sure, well, Power is it really at the moment. When he comes back, he makes a huge difference instantly. But without him, we shouldn't look this vulnerable. There should be someone else in the squad who can offer that. I mean, I don't know if Luke O'Nine was signed to do that. Doesn't look like he's going to get the chance, does it? So what's the answer? Because I think bringing Dylan McGeoch back in, that's all well and good, but he kind of sits very deep and keeps it safe, and he didn't really impose himself on the game against Fleetwood.
I was thinking about this earlier today, and I think maybe we might have to see, rather than worrying about who we're going to bring in, maybe the departure of someone who's been consistent in the starting 11 might need to happen. And unfortunately, while Craig enjoys his Dr. Pepper on mic, it's okay.
Apologies.
I think in a weird, I find myself in a weird position where I actually like George Honeyman, and I think he's a good footballer, and I think he's really committed to the cause. But it's something's just not working with him though in the starting 11, and that's a weird one to pull out your captain. But captain doesn't mean the same thing as it did 20 years ago. But when Power comes back from suspension, and now you've got McGeady, who made an appearance last week, something's got to give, Richard.
I think one of the great things about League One is that you can make changes on the fly. I always compared that kind of thing in the Premier League and later years of Division One. Well, Championship, I sound like your dad there. Division One.
Division Two if you want to go full dar. Yeah. But
it's a kind of changing a tyre on a wheel when you're on the motorway in the top two divisions. But you can make changes on the fly and let them settle down, and you can kind of learn from your mistakes. You've still got time to turn things around. I mean, we've played badly and still managed to get results this season.
Yeah.
It's very early in the year.
It is.
And we just need to find a combination
in terms of tinkering and finding combinations that work, because I don't think for any stretch of the imagination Jack Ross knows his best 11 yet. I think he may have an image in his mind, but I certainly don't think the players that he thought were going to fit with who on the pitch, I don't think that's worked out from the way he thought either. I think, this is still very much, he's only been at the club a few months. You know, these players have only been a couple of months, if that, This is a very ever-evolving squad, isn't it?
The whole situation's evolving constantly, and I think you'd be hard-pressed to get a consistent first-choice 11 out of Sunderland fans.
Absolutely.
As well as Jack Ross. Yeah. It's a tough one for him. I mean, I keep going back to saying, you know, three at the back could be the one, just because it gives you an extra body with some height. It might help you sort of stop the crosses coming in. The fullbacks at the minute don't look particularly good at that. Maybe if you've got a centre back coming out to cover, that might help. I don't know. But again, it's like we're talking about, that's quite a big change to the system. And it's like, do we really need that? I'm questioning my own opinion here. Yeah. Probably not. Like Richard says, we actually are getting results generally.
Yeah.
It's just getting the right cogs into the system that he likes.
And that system changes with who would feature, especially up top. Now, we saw, unfortunately, Charlie Wyke is the big news story this week. It looks like he's going to, well, it's been confirmed, up to 12 weeks, they think he's going to be out with possible some ligament damage in there as well. Not the best news. But in terms of tinkering with systems and approaches to games, arguably, stats would say that we have done better when Wyke wasn't in the side and we played to Madge's strengths differently by not, you know, I think the idea with Wyke was long balls to the man up top from left and right. Hasn't really worked, has it?
It's strange. It's not the kind of manager he is it?
No.
I didn't quite get that change. I mean, I get it playing him.
I just think
not
back
in
to
that
the,
way.
The Scunthorpe game, is it that first half? You know, we played football.
Really patient
and,
as well.
You know, yeah, and we looked really composed in all departments on the pitch. And since the introduction of Wyke, maybe we've, you know, forsaken a little bit of that for a different approach, a different style almost. And again, it's all a learning curve, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it could be a situation where someone unlikely emerges from this and becomes the hero of the season. I don't think any of us we're going to hang our hats on Josh Madger this season, and he's turned out to be a relative success.
EFL
the looked,
Young Player
really
of the Month as well.
Well earned. Deserved, I think. Yeah. I mean, I keep saying it, and I'll say it again, I think he's arguably the most talented footballer we've got. That's not to say he's the finished article. He's not.
Yeah.
And I feel like I completely agree with you about Honeyman. He's someone who's on the verge of losing his place in some ways. But I think sometimes, myself included, we're guilty of judging players on what they don't do rather than what they do do.
Absolutely.
And what Honeyman, for example, is good at, I think, is pressing, and he provides energy. And Madger is technically very sound. He's got quick feet. And yet he gets criticised by some for looking a bit like lazy, or he doesn't run in behind.
Or being a soft touch.
Yeah, and it's like, well, maybe that's just because that's not his game.
Yeah,
and
he's not a type of player.
Yeah, and he's 19. Mm. He's a child. And I just think with him, if you can build around his strengths, you'll score goals.
Yeah.
Him and McGeady in particular,
we did.
I think.
We were scoring goals around his playing.
Well, that's a good point. But as you said,
So Wyke is out. Quick thoughts on that. Disappointing, isn't it?
It is disappointing when you consider the challenge that was gone completely unpunished.
Yeah.
I just thought I watched it again today, because the first time I saw it, I was in a state of disbelief that they allowed it play on. That should have been... I mean, even if there was no advantage anyway.
No.
There's no clear advantage anyway.
Yeah.
Just pull it back and give him some kind of card or some kind of reprimand at least. But
yeah. 12
that
weeks.
Just shows that you can get away with anything.
Yeah, well, especially in League One, I think some of the officiating, I mean, you don't want to get into just blaming officials, but some of it's absolutely atrocious, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they do say those things even themselves out over the season.
Well,
but
we've had a few.
You can't help but feel a little bit hard done by when, you know, your talisman strike and signing of the season has been ruled out for 12 weeks. But do we have enough in-depth at the club then, Craig, up top?
You looked at it and thought, in some ways, I think Gareth went on about this a few times, about like, would you rather keep Oviedo than have another striker? And I think I would have said yes, probably, because you can't take Madger out. He's playing so well. Wyke cost for the division a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I think part of what you've been saying, Frankie, they have looked for a way to shoehorn him in a way, because they want to use him. If you brought another striker in on top of having Jerome Sinclair there, who's on loan from a Premier League team, that you're going to have a lot of depth, but someone's going to be missing out quite regularly.
Yeah.
But then he sort of decided he wants to play two up front. Well, with two up front, until Duncan Watmore or Charlie Wyke are back, we are bare bones. I mean, there's two strikers at the club.
Yeah.
It is a bit of a concern. I mean, if Madger gets injured in particular, I think, you know, we're very lightweight. You'd have to have a complete rethink about how we approach games. Don't know what you think, Richard, but...
Yeah, I agree. I think it's just a case of just keep on trying different combinations. One will stick. It's just like writing down loads of things on a bit of paper, and one will stick eventually. But it's finding that. It's just the frustration right now.
Yeah. And especially with the injuries and suspensions disrupting. Mm. And like, that's one of the problems I've got a bit with McGeek. You need him to have a run of 5 or 6 games to see, A, what kind of player he is and what he can do in this division.
Yeah.
But B, just for his fitness and so he can have a consistent team put out, he comes in, we're all a bit, not sure what exactly he is, but then we don't get another chance to look at him because he's injured.
Yeah.
Now, if he keeps doing that, Ross can never settle on an 11
because
he's not going to give him any consistency.
Yeah.
That's a problem. But
in fairness, that's why McGeek is here, because he hasn't had a full season in a long time.
Mm.
He's been out. He's been in and out of sides with injury, and he's not shown that potential that he clearly does have.
It's a weird thing in that game against Fleetwood about how deep he sat. He can control the ball in tight spaces. Don't know about his range of passing, but he can definitely control the ball in tight spaces. So why he felt the need, unless he's told to sit that deep. He started his career as a winger.
Hmm.
He's not averse to playing in advanced positions. It just really baffled me, and it was like really disappointing because it's not what I thought from him.
Yeah, especially, you know, when you saw the show reel of him, like, you know, charging forward, even getting goals as well.
Yeah,
I guess we'll see. But Jack Ross spoke to the press today ahead of the weekend's fixture. Let's hear from Jack Ross now, who spoke to BBC's Nick Barnes and Sun FM's Tom Hill.
You know, a lot of games I've watched, they've tried to play. And yeah, I watched their game against Gillingham on Saturday, and they were very direct. And so that, again, is difficult to predict with certainty how they'll approach the game. Like most teams, they have a stronger physical presence than we do. But we've done a lot of work this week on improving aspects of our game that should get us back to a level, because bits of games have been good, and there's been bits of our work that have been good, and it's important to keep highlighting then while recognising the areas we need to improve upon. But certainly I don't expect anything other than a difficult game.
But do you look at someone like Keith Hill and you think, you look at that team, and they've got a 38-year-old up front, they had a 17 and a 15-year-old on the bench. He's clearly got something about him as a coach to gel these sort of players.
Well, I think so. I think that he, you know, there's a number of different facets to being a manager and a coach, and I suppose the one thing that he does have is a certain degree of stability at that club. You know, he's been there for a while now. He's probably, I'm not saying they're comfortable in the role, but has probably settled enough to know, and his players know what he wants from them, and there's probably a certain amount of consistency about what they do, and that I don't think should ever be underestimated, because I've seen that firsthand myself at other clubs. I've seen how challenging the initial period can be as a manager, and then once your squad is settled and they understand exactly what you want from them, it doesn't become easier, but it becomes smoother, if you like, and I think they've probably seen that with Rochdale. I think they've probably benefited from Keith's stability at the club and being there fairly consistently, and that, I think, over a period of time. Generally, I think you'll find that clubs doing that. I mean, I know there's a couple of good examples of the Premiership now with Bournemouth and Burnley, with Eddie and Sean Dyche and things, who have shown that what that stability can bring. That's not me pitching to keep my job here for ages, but I think it is.
Good pitch.
I think it's important, you know, and I think, again, Keith at Rochdale was another good example of that, and you know, about that consistency, him being there for a period of time and then being able to produce a stable team in that time as well.
You don't think you're under pressure already, do you? It
just goes with the territory, doesn't it?
Josh Madger getting a young player of the month the other day. Good start to what could be a memorable season for him.
Yeah, I'm really pleased for him. I'm fond of him. I've said it before, that he's a very likeable young man. He's bright, he's clever, he's very polite, he's grounded, but also wants to do well in the game. And really pleased. I'm not sure he would have imagined this is where he would have been at this stage of the season. And I think to get that individual accolade, he's deserved it. But it's just a starting point for him. You know, I think the key for him is, can he replicate that over the course of the season and get himself, you know, target-wise, it would be 20 goals for him. And if he can do that as a 19-year-old, then it's a fantastic starting point to his senior career.
Must be happy with Aidan McGeady now back on the pitch and in contention.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because he's been out for 4 months. If you add in the end of last season, close season, pre-season period, a long time. You know, if that was during a season, you would people think, oh, he'll still be out for a little bit longer. And we kind of made the decision to bring him back in with us really quickly rather than rehab him. Just Aidan probably gets more from working with us in the group than he does on his own. And last weekend, was, you know, again, you've got to plan things as a manager. That was not in the plan for him to have him as long as a pitch and that. He wasn't ready for that. But we needed some. We needed a spark in the game, and I thought he gave us that, actually. We scored in that period. We probably had our best spell in that period, and then he hit a lull. You know, I think you could see it, and by if you spoke to him after the game, he would tell you that he had that probably 15 minutes, and then all of a sudden it was, you know, leggy. So again, he's only just building that up. But to have him available within the squad again is certainly a boost for me. And obviously, as we got every week that goes past, because he's trained fully with me again this week, every week that goes past, he gets ever closer to then being able to start games, and that will help us as well. Because I think on that period in the pitch, he showed the quality, I think, that we all know he has.
Back to the Stadium of Light, over 25,000 tickets sold at the moment. I mean, it's important to fans that support continues to make this a fortress at the Stadium of Light, because of course he's still unbeaten there this season.
Yeah, we, and I've been conscious of this because I know we suffered under defeat last week. It was not an eye-opener for me, but it was interesting to see that. You know, it's another example of the scrutiny that this club is under on a daily and weekly basis. And but that, as I said, it's not something to complain about, but it's part of the challenge of getting the club going in the right direction. And so I've been keen to stress that. It's about balancing the understanding that, you know, we didn't play well last week, and I just think I was openly admit that after the game and my responsibility within that, but balancing that out with the start overall, because it's not been perfect, but it's been probably better than I would think most people would have thought at the start of the season, you know, in pre-season period. And it's been okay, and it's given us an okay platform, and we don't want that to disappear quickly. You know, if we go 6, 7, 8 games and we're not winning games, then yeah, you've got to really work hard at keeping that. But you know, we want people to come back. We've got a duty to go and get back to a performance level that excites them again on Saturday, but I believe the group will do that. But it's just making sure that that patience or support doesn't decrease more quickly because we've lost a game last week. You know, we've already seen that teams are coming with a one-off mentality to each game at the Stadium of Light, and that's going to be the same each and every time. And hopefully our supporters will respond in the way of saying, well, we'll show how much it means to us to protect that, if you like, in that record at our stadium.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Wise Men Say podcast with me, Frankie Francis, Craig Clark and Richard Easterbrook. That was the Sunderland manager, Jack Ross, and the questions came from Nick Barnes and Tom Hill. So let's look at the opposition at the weekend. Rochdale AFC, they have scored 13 goals but conceded 16 this season. They have a goal average every 55 minutes they score a goal, but they do concede on every 45 minutes by the stats what I found on the internet. Let's be honest, it's another one of those games where we don't really know much about the opposition apart from looking, you know, how they've done this season. And they're on a little bit of a mini run, aren't they, Richard, at the moment?
Yeah, they've had a bad start, which led to a few Rochdale fans calling for Keith Hill's head. Obviously not literally, but
I hope not.
Well, this is League One football.
Yeah,
that's quite what brutal. Happens when you get down here.
Yeah. Anything can happen post Brexit as well. You know, wow. we don't know.
All bets are off. Yeah,
yeah. Keith Hill sounds like quite Brexit-y though, doesn't he?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Are we going to speculate how the Rochdale manager voted the referendum?
We're safe that he's not listening, unless.
Imagine. Yeah. It is League One. Anything's possible.
Yeah, this
anything's possible. It could be. We're not going to speculate on Keith Hill's voting record.
No, we can't do that. But yeah,
but can speculate on the game.
Yeah, we'll try to. The 13th at the moment, because of that bad start you just mentioned, Richard. But they have put a little bit of a run together. And you know, they have not lost a game away from home this season as well. They've played 4-1-2, drawn 2. Should we be a bit alarmed by that?
They've not done too well against the teams around where we are expected to be this season. So that's a good sign. But they're scoring goals.
Ian Henderson.
They lost their last game when we won our last game. So yeah, it's one of those, isn't it?
On Monday's pod, Gareth mentioned Ian Henderson and how he's a little bit banging form at the minute. But he said, you know, it would be our challenge to find out, you know, the player who wasn't in form, who will definitely score against us at the weekend. And they've got a player in the form of Aaron Wilbraham, who is 38 years old. You may recognise that name.
I do recognise his name,
actually. He has done stints in... We played Bolton last season. He scored 2 goals there. He hasn't scored yet this season. He played at Bristol and Norwich and Palace, I think, in his career
as
well. Yeah,
the Palace connection.
So he could be one if he makes an appearance. However, there is someone else who hasn't scored this season, who only scored once last season while on loan at Bolton and was the winning goal against Sunderland. It was Zach Clough. So these
get 100 quid minimum on him to score first within the first 20 minutes. Oh, there you go.
What happens, you know, seriously though, if we go 1-0 down, you know, within the first 20 minutes, is this the match that the crowd, you know, begin to ask questions and maybe don't follow that, you know, because I think I felt a little bit the last home game where it was a bit of a sucker punch, wasn't it? And you could feel everyone sighing and think, no, it's not happened. It's happened again. Hopefully, you know. I mean, why don't they come out like they did, you know, against Scunthorpe, for example, when, you know, it was... Generally, they do the first 5-10 minutes, you know, look like very powerful, very confident side. Do you think that's the way they've got to do it? Or maybe that's what they're doing wrong?
Wait, what?
A very long question there.
No, I wonder whether we wouldn't be better off if we can. Obviously, we've got to take into account the opposition don't just want to roll over and let us do whatever we want. Even Scunthorpe, right, just to go on a bit of a tangent, had a penalty shout before it went to 1-0, and it was a penalty, and they didn't get it. So that could... we're not going to talk about could have been, would have been, you know, but... Even then, in that game where we were completely dominant and they were the worst team we've played by some distance, there was an opportunity for them. So in this game, against a team who do score goals, you've got to think they're going to try and do what everyone else has done to varying degrees of success, and they're going to go and try and get that early goal. I wonder if you might be right. We've lost a game. We haven't won in 3. The goals haven't dried up, but they're not coming as thick and fast as they were earlier in the season when it looked like, come on, we're really going to steamroller this division. And I do wonder if we were to concede inside sort of 15 minutes, whether there might be a bit of a turn. I'm not saying people are going to turn en masse, and I would hope they don't.
No, I'm not suggesting that for a moment, but I think it maybe...
It is frustrating, though, to watch.
It's more
the
of a
same thing happen
thing,
every week.
I mean, on the back of a defeat, that I don't think that everyone will turn. I think pockets, or there'll definitely be pockets. I'm not saying they're all going to start stomping out on you know, 62 minutes or whatever. But Rochdale are going to come here and they're going to play a style of football that is going to frustrate us, and it's going to, you know, they're going to stop us from playing the type of game that we want to play. And they've found a way to win games, and you know, chances are they'll put us under pressure quite early on. And if we do go a goal down 20 minutes in, there will be pockets that won't be particularly happy with it, and they'll show it.
And you mentioned the other teams around us in the table who they've played. I mean, Walsall beat them 2-1, but they weren't really predicted to be up there. But Portsmouth and Peterborough both put 4 past them.
Yeah.
And you think, I'm not saying, obviously things changed. That was very early in the season. The Rochdale will have adjusted, and they've had a nice little spell of form and everything. But we've got to be looking to emulate that kind of performance. They concede goals. They've conceded half of their goals in 2 games against 2 of our rivals. So we've got to be looking to go out there and impose our game.
Yeah.
They might score in that game, and that's fine.
Stats would suggest they will.
They're going to do it, exactly. Yeah. But if it's first, it's not just psychological. It affects the way the team approach the game. You have to, Ross is constantly having to rethink things during games.
They always seem to be on the back foot.
Yeah.
Very rarely on the front foot.
It's strange to watch because teams, we've got to understand teams aren't going to just let us.
No.
Are we just, is it a mental sharpness thing? Is it physical sharpness? They look slow and laboured and, I don't know, we've got players who can get a hold of that ball and all you need to do in a way is just get it across the back four and just keep the ball.
Yeah, well,
take the sting out.
Let's look at how we might set up at the weekend then. In terms of, we start from the back. Who do we have in defence then? Oviedo came back straight in back into the side, but maybe would have benefited from not being in the side. But you can't really, if he's available.
Presumably now he's going to be ready. Yeah. Whereas last weekend,
I don't think he was ready.
He probably wasn't.
Yeah. Who's your centre pairing at the back then, Craig?
I'd stick with Baldwin and Leuvens. Again, you want to keep those three because they're the consistent performers together.
Yeah.
There's no real reason to just change personnel. Mm-hmm. I know not everyone's sold on Leuvens, but I mean, he's not done anything wrong where you go rip it up, start again. It's Matthews who's a threat, isn't it?
Yeah. The thing about Matthews is, it's like, when is he going to find his level? He's played well for other clubs.
Mm-hmm.
He comes to us and he's been inconsistent in and out of the team.
Also had a few niggling injuries as well, which don't help.
You just think, is this his level? Is actually like kind of being in and out of the team, is that just the type of player that he is?
He could be one of those a bit like Catamol, takes a while to get back into his stride. Mm. But whereas with Catamol, you'll get at least a half a season's worth of games in a row when he is fit.
Mm-hmm.
With Matthews, you won't.
Yeah.
And it's what we've just been talking about with McGeek. Except with McGeek, I think you potentially get more. With Matthews, does he actually give you enough when he is fit for you to really bother with having to bring him in and out of the side?
That's the thing. If you've got a right back that's playing 6 out of 10 each game, you can go, oh, well, that's all right, as long as he's not letting us down. But he comes back and he's 4, 5... maybe 2 out of 10.
Yeah, some of them.
Depending on your ratings.
Hey, I would say he's been... I didn't see Burton game, so I can't judge that. But certainly the Fleetwood game, he was 4 out of 10 at best. Culpable for the goal in some ways. Poor for the penalty. Diving in. It wasn't just his fault. Obviously, Honeyman gave the ball away.
Mm.
But is he doing enough to make you go, you've got to start him because he's a natural right back? Not really. I'd be looking to move him out of the team,
I think. Who would you bring in then instead?
Probably Flanagan. And he's not going to get up the pitch and he's not particularly mobile.
But maybe he gives you that aerial deficiency, especially with Wyke out now. I know it's not great to rely on your strike on set pieces, but, Flanagan's a taller lad as well, isn't he?
He looks like he could... Well, you think about that Fleetwood goal. If that was not Matthews and it was Flanagan, I think Flanagan deals with it, doesn't he?
Mm. Going through the side, does Maguire walk? Does he strut straight back into the starting 11, Craig?
He's a strutter, isn't he? Yeah. He's such a strutter.
A peacock, isn't he?
He is a peacock. Rightly so, what a man he is.
He took his goal well at the weekend. Does he come straight back in the side?
I'm not sure. We've got so many attacking options. I don't really know what you do for the best.
Well, he's another conundrum for you. McGeady. Obviously, he's still not fit. Surely not. Surely he couldn't start.
He did all right coming back into a side without that much. He'd only had a couple of days training and he hadn't played any matches before that, no under-23s or anything like that. So if that's what he can do when he's, 25%, 40% fit, you've got to say...
Would you start him?
I think I would, yeah.
So if you're starting him, I don't know if you do start Maguire because you start having...
You can't deny him. He's just scored that screamer at the weekend.
Well, I tell you what, fair enough, Ross dropped him and he got that out of him. And I don't think if he starts the game, he would have got that out of him because his form had dropped off a cliff. Mm. Maybe he has done enough then to get back in the team. But I think if you've got him and McGeady in the team, you need to play Honeyman to give you the balance. So where does Gooch fit in?
Yeah.
It starts getting difficult, doesn't it? Where do you fit all these? The sort of... We've got this plethora of players to play around Madja.
Yeah.
And then just Madja to really fulfil the striker role.
You just need to cut out the kind of the midfield and play everyone around Madja at the front.
Just like, well, that I think that's what he tried to do against Burton, didn't he? Just get them round Madja. Buzz them round Madja.
In a circle around
him. Just protect them from the bullies. But, you look at it and think, right, we're not Man City, obviously, But in terms of this division, they would play one kind of holding player. Mm-hmm. Cattermole, you'd think, could kind of do that. Mm-hmm. Some people don't think he's mobile. I think in this division he looks mobile.
I think you've got to have cats on.
I don't think you need any more than
It's all right.
I don't think you need any more than one in that division.
But then it didn't really work, though, did it, against Burton? Or was that because we had two out-and-out strikers?
I think it's because we had too much going past them.
Right. So how would you... So you start with just Cattermole, no McGeek. Who do you put in front of him?
I put three in front of him and two up top.
So a bit like Burton?
Yeah. But this time it should work.
Because the players you're going to pick are...
It's going to be... So Madger, and I'd probably put... Sinclair off him.
I don't think it's fair to judge the fact that he was playing on the wing.
Yeah,
I don't think that was fair either.
I'm going on how he did against Charlton when he came on and sent off, and I thought he was playing slightly off Madger. I know he was a little bit further out wide, but
it worked.
I think it worked definitely.
I know
he's
what it is
about him.
It's quick, isn't he? He looks like he's got the ability. I know he's got no goals at his parent club, but he has got the look of quality in terms of ability,
definitely.
And speed and fitness. You know.
It's like we've said about other players, you can kind of see the League One ones and the ones that are clearly cut from a better sort of cloth.
Yeah.
Like Madge is one of them. Sinclair, for whatever he did at Burton, definitely has something. Mm-hmm. And that's why he's a Premier League player, not a League One player. Mm-hmm. And I'd quite like to see them two form a partnership where you could start having Madge, the way he moves, and if you've got Sinclair just running at these lump defenders off them, surely we're going to get him in behind. You're not going to get him playing in flat four midfield on the left wing doing that, though. No. Seems like a total waste of his talents, really, didn't it?
Yeah.
I've heard someone I was in a meeting with today at work suggesting Madger play him from the left. There's a potential if you play more of a 4-3-3. But we've got a lot of wide players.
I think that's
players.
A waste that, you know, putting a strike out wide. You know, we need got the likes of, you know, Honeyman could do that, Gooch could do that.
Totally agree. So if you're playing them two up front, I guess you think McGeady to start.
Yeah.
Probably Honeyman and Maguire.
I think psychologically as well, if you started someone like Aidan McGeady, the opposition would be scared from the offset. In terms of, you know, Aidan McGeady running out of defence in this league, should have no problems getting a shot at goal. And you know what happens in this league? If you have a shot at goal, great chance of scoring.
And we've stopped doing that.
Yeah.
Maguire had a go and he scored.
Yeah.
And more of them need to do it. And you're right, he's the perfect player to do it.
Yeah.
I love that goal because on the highlights, I was expecting, this is my Premier League kind of background, I was expecting a different angle from behind the goal.
Oh, yeah.
Just like from over his shoulder, maybe, but no, you got the same angle, just slower.
Yeah, it was really old school. Yeah, you forget that this is League One. This is what you get.
Roger Thames on the comms.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Hey, at least we've got a replay.
Yeah. so we're almost at the end, so we should do a little round of predictions. Then Richard, we'll start with you. How do you see things going at the weekend?
I think we need to start well. stating the obvious. I think if we start well...
Don't concede first.
We can do 2-3-0. 3-0. Going to go.
I'd like that.
Great. I'm going to go out there and say 4-2.
It's 4-2?
Just a goal fest.
Goal fest?
I think we take the lead this time, but I don't think we'll keep a clean sheet against a team that's scoring that many goals.
Mm.
We can't keep a clean sheet against Oxford, who hadn't scored an away goal
before
we played them.
Yeah. I'm going to say 3-2 Sunderland. Magic gets a hat-trick.
Oh,
but Magic. We don't concede first. If Sunderland score first, we could steam all of them. I think that could happen at any point this season. As long as we score first. You know, the confidence breeds throughout the side.
The fans on side.
Fans on side, especially
well.
At home. Yeah, that's going to happen, you know. Positivity all round from Wiseman's here.
Come on.
bit of housekeeping. The weekend, Peacock is happening again. The lads do a live pod down there. And they get a little bit worried because sometimes it looks like no one's going to be there. But then all of a sudden, people get there.
The relief is palpable in the group chat.
I think this weekend they've got Gordon Armstrong appearing for the first time this season. And I'll be in the fan zone. I just found out today. That I think I'll be joined by Gary Bennett and Alex Ray.
Oh, that's a combo, isn't it?
Well, maybe not at the same time, but like.
Well, I mean, just. Well, yeah, like it's.
But it's a good combo.
Good pair of.
Good spine.
It is.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for now.
Yeah. Yeah, so
I'll find it.
Hopefully the guys will be back on Monday night with a Victorious podcast. If you all got in the game, enjoy yourself. We'll see you next time.
Of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.